Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, everybody. This is Billy the Brain, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400 or streaming over the internet at 1400kkzz.com. We're Ventura's number one positive talk radio show. My goal here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we're going to listen to what these people have to say, and we'll relate it to how we live and work here in Ventura County. If all of that sounds like National Public Radio, well, then you're getting the right idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right, with the emphasis on the right. Every show has a theme, and of course today is Friday, so part of our theme is Fun Fridays, and we will have fun. We've got a couple of great giveaways for you today. We've got two giveaways, one in each half hour, and it's a combo, a kind of a meal deal. You get a pizza and an ice cream for each caller that calls in each half hour. So pizza and an ice cream, that's a meal and a dessert, and all you have to do is be one of the callers when I announce the number. And our call-in number is 639-0008, 639-0008. Also, today we'll be having thought leaders in the area of second chances, and that's what we're going to be talking about here, Just Rewards. Our first guest will be joining us from the San Diego area, and as soon as we get him on the line, then we'll be joined by Daryl Ray from the Ohio area as well. So as we get into it, let's talk first about Just Rewards. My first guest is the guru of thank you. He's literally written the books on how to reward and motivate employees in non-monetary terms. His titles include 1001 Ways to Reward Employees, 1001 Ways to Energize Employees, the 1001 Rewards and Recognition Field Book, and 1001 Ways to Take Initiative at Work. His latest is Ubuntu. Bob Nelson, a PhD, is the leading expert on employee recognition, rewards, and motivation. He's the president of Nelson Motivation Incorporated. He's the co-founder of Recognition Professionals International, and he's worked with over two-thirds of the Fortune 500 companies. He's appeared on national media, CBS 60 Minutes, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, PBS, the list goes on and on and on. He's been in print, Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. It is just incredible. Dr. Nelson holds an MBA in organizational behavior from UC Berkeley, and he received his PhD in management from the Peter F. Drucker Graduate Management School right here in Claremont, California. He is also presented to many management groups and conferences on over six continents. Welcome to the show, Dr. Bob. How are you?
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. I was going to wish my mom was online for an introduction like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send her a copy of the interview, so if you want her to be proud of you, and if she isn't already proud of you, that will certainly do it. So thank you for being on the show. Greatly appreciate it. There's probably never been a more important time to discuss this topic that you and I are about to discuss. And I want to get into your new book in just a second, but before we do, companies always say in their literature, when they're talking to you, when they're recruiting people, they always say, our employees are our number one asset. All right, but you know, studies by the Drake Institute, by Hewitt Associates, say that 40% of the employees feel that they're less motivated now, and 47% feel they've lost trust at work. Now, in this economic times, it seems like the employers are really holding all the cards. It's very hard to go out and find a new job. Many of our listeners are actually listening at work, either on the radio or over the internet. What evidence do you have that motivated employees really help to benefit a company, both financially and in other ways?
Well, there's actually quite a lot. And actually, just starting with a common sense approach that if you feel good about who you work for, you've got a good boss, you've got a good job, and your coworkers, and you feel you're well treated, you love what you do, then that of course carries over to any client, any coworker, any customer that you might have. So we all tend to be functions of reactions to the circumstances around us. In terms of, in fact, I just got off the phone with someone talking about the situation where they've got the organization where people they're not motivated, they don't seem to care, they're putting in their hours and just kind of up and down all the different job categories, and what can we do to turn that around and start something going?
What did you tell them? I mean, that's
it was a long discussion, and it, like with any type of change, you got to start with the first step. So I tend to look when I work with companies or work groups, I tend to look for where can we get a toehold in starting to do things differently that are positive. Now, a lot of times that toehold is with the manager of the department. If that person is an SOB, you know, then it's going to be something that you're living with on a day-to-day basis. Eventually you're going to quit. You know,
sure.
The economy improves. Right now, 54% of employees say, as things get better in the economy, they're out of here. 74% for younger employees who haven't been through a recession before don't know that there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
Sure, the sun will come out tomorrow. Absolutely. Now, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. You know, this is an interesting time, Bob. For the first time in U.S. history, we've got four generations working in the workplace at the same time. We've got the traditionals, we've got the baby boomers like myself, Gen X and Gen Y. Some people call Gen Y the millennials. In what ways are the needs of each of these groups and the expectation of these groups different in terms of recognition and rewards?
Well, they are each different. The baby boomers and the generation before them,
the traditionals.
The traditionalists, you know, I'll give you a good example. Just with one of my employees, Nick, is a great employee. Remember, he told me his grandfather, he worked at one company for most of his life. And when he retired, they gave him a plaque. His grandfather cried. He was so moved and touched by that. His dad worked for a large defense company called Lockheed Martin.
Yes, we know them well.
And on his 35th anniversary with the organization, they placed a coffee mug on his desk. He was quite distraught at that's what his life had amounted to, and so that's the extreme right there. And so for the new generation, and Nick is younger, in terms of what motivates him. He graduated last spring, and he announced kind of asked me, but it was really announcing that he'd like me to pay for a trip to Italy for him.
Wow!
And I immediately said yes, because he's a great worker, and I'll do whatever, you know, will keep him motivated. He's always there for me. He's very resourceful. And so he knows better what motivates him than I do. If something becomes clear as to what he needs or wants, I will give it to him. So that right there, three generations, really shows the path of motivation.
Absolutely.
Now, if Nick had just started working for me last week and he wanted to go to Italy, I would have said, you got a screw loose. But he's worked for me for 7 years. And if anything, I feel guilty not doing enough for him because he is so good.
Wow. Great story. I want to delve into that a little bit more. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He's the author of a new book, Ubuntu, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But that story not only reveals the different motivations of the different generations in the workplace today, Bob, but I have to ask you, doesn't that also sort of border on blackmail? I mean, I know this guy's been with you, and he's been loyal. And how many years had he been with you in order for you to feel strongly enough to send him on a trip to Italy?
Oh, 7 years. But, no, it didn't feel like that. Maybe I presented it wrong. It was he knows I travel a lot, so I've got a bazillion frequent flyer points. And so he said, hey, can I use your points?
Oh, I see.
And on the airline is going on, we were short, so he you know, you can buy some more points. And so actually it wasn't a $5,000 check I wrote or anything. It was more nominal. But it just struck me as being funny, and I'm glad he does that, by the way.
Sure.
I'd rather he do that and then be it was about a month later where out of the blue he said, "Hey Bob, I never thanked you for that trip." We had a wonderful time, and thanks. That was kind of funny too, because it took him a long time to, and it's because he's busy, you know, and I'm busy, and but that stuck out when he thanked me as well. So, you know, part of it makes a good point, because part of how you start to change things where you are is by doing that even with your boss, by thanking your boss. And a lot of people, that sounds counterintuitive, because, hey, I want my boss to recognize and notice and thank me and appreciate me. Why should I have to do that to him? He's the one that gets all the big bucks, right? And managers are people too, and they, you know, most of them are working hard, and they need the recognition. In my doctoral research, when I looked at why managers use or don't use recognition, make their employees feel valued and appreciated, a proven fact that we know that works, and I looked to see where they, for those that did do it, where they got the what allowed them to, the number one reason was they had employees that thanked them, that acknowledged them.
Isn't that interesting? What a
finding.
It
really was. It really is, because it says, again, you get what you sow, and they it's easier for a manager to do it if people notice it. And so, regardless of what it is, now, next time your boss has a client in the office and he drops by your office to introduce you, if you thank him for doing that, hey, I really meant a lot when you brought the new client by me and explained what I do, and if you need something, thanks for doing that. It made me feel special that I'm part of the team that you thought of having him, you know, introduced to me. I guarantee you, next time your manager has a client in the office, he's making a beeline to your office because you noticed it, you made him feel good about it. He goes, oh, that wasn't much effort. I can do that again. Maybe you'll start doing it with other people. That's what I'm saying. That's the toehold that you start to make a change.
And these are the simple types of things, Bob, that you talk about in all of your books. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He's the author of 1001 Ways to Motivate People, all sorts of books. His latest book is Ubuntu. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We have to take a short break. Also, when we come back, we're going to have a first of our giveaways, a pizza and an ice cream for a full meal, and that'll go out to the second caller when we come back. Join us after this short break.
Mark Twain once said, "A man who carries a cat by the tail learns something he can learn in no other way."
What you learn is just how painful a bad idea can be.
Mark and Cynthia Schneider for Pacific Air.
In this case, that bad idea is neglecting your air conditioner for another year.
Simple neglect is the cause of most expensive repairs.
Look, maybe your air conditioner can make it through another year. Maybe it cannot. But you can save a lot of money with a summer air conditioner tune-up for just $77.
When you think heating and air conditioning, think Pacific Air.
Nobody likes high energy bills or expensive repairs.
Maybe you took a pass on having your system looked at last year. Then it's even more important to get it cleaned and calibrated and inspected this year.
The All Points Air Conditioner Tune-Up.
Just $77 from your home comfort connection at Pacific Air.
866-PACAIRE. And on the web at PACAIRE.com. And when you think heating and air conditioning, think Pacific Air.
Attention small business owners. Did you know that you could save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month on your business phone costs? You want to know more? Then just pick up the phone and call Access Line Communications. You not only save on service, you can even get a complete phone system for your office at 0% financing. That's just dollars a day. Call 1-888-510-5955 today or visit accessline.com/thecoach. Tell the salesperson that your promo code is The Coach, and you'll get a free Visa gift card with your purchase. Check it out today.
Yolanda's Mexican Cafe has been serving Ventura County the finest in Mexican food and drink for 25 years. Visit one of their four family-friendly locations in Oxnard at 1601 South Victoria Avenue, Ventura at 2753 East Main Street, Camarillo at 86 Daly Drive, and in Simi Valley at 590 East Los Angeles Avenue. They've been voted the best margaritas, best happy hour, best Mexican food, and best salsa bar in Ventura County in a survey by the Ventura Star newspaper and the Reporter News magazine over the last 10 years. Each one of their restaurants has its own personality, with beautiful decor and also beautiful artwork. Yolanda's friendly staff is always available to assist in providing an enjoyable experience when you dine with them. Yolanda's has been serving their customers the finest Mexican food since February 1982. Please visit their website at yolandasmexicancafe.com to see the many menu choices. Come share in the experience of Yolanda's Mexican Cafe, the best Mexican restaurant in Ventura County, Yolanda's.
And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Billy the Brain. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Every one of our shows has a theme, and besides being Fun Friday, the theme for today is Just Rewards. We're talking to my special guest, Bob Nelson, author of the book Ubuntu. We're going to talk to him in just a minute. But as I promised, before we go back to our guest, we have our first giveaway. It's a full meal. It's a full pizza from Cordella's Pizza. It's a large one-topping pizza. You can redeem it at either one of their two locations, 1700 East Thompson or 509 South Cecil Street in Oxnard, plus an ice cream from McConnell's. And you know McConnell's, they are the ones that manufacture the ice cream right here on the Central Coast, using 17% butterfat for a rich, creamy flavor. And this will go to the second caller, 639-0008, 639-0008. Now back to you, Bob. Before
hey,
we want,
Billy.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, for being the brain, you should know that if you're talking to an author, you should give away a couple of his books.
Ah, well, we'll talk about that. We'll talk.
Let me get you some of those that you can give away to callers.
We will absolutely do that. Your new book is titled Ubuntu. Am I pronouncing that right?
Because it's
Ubuntu.
An inspiring story about an African tradition of teamwork and cooperation.
Yeah, and you teamed up with another very famous business writer, Stephen Ledeen, who has written the Fish series of books,
yeah,
to write.
You know your book.
Oh, well. That's what Billy the Brain does, yeah. So how did you guys hook up in order to collaborate on this latest book?
Well, this is actually kind of curious because people, you know, we both have sold books that have sold over a million copies, and usually, you know, by that point, you both have pretty healthy egos.
Right.
And so the idea of working together to create something new was easier said than done. Let me put it that way. Also, the other thing is that we view things so differently. I'm kind of a more practical, whereas Steve is a little bit more ethereal, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's the right word.
Ethereal.
But, yeah, ethereal. Thank you. And so he's more. More from the heart. I'm more from the head.
Oh, that's a great combination, head and heart.
We knew that if we could get it together, that it would be a stronger book as a result, because we have the both. So he really touches at your feelings and emotions, and I added the element that showed you how to ground it to say, okay, that here's what it looks like to move forward, and it came out with a stronger product as a result.
Oh, that is great. Now, tell us a little bit about your new book, because what does a story about African tribal traditions have to do with your main character, John Peterson, and he is, he's a struggling manager in a credit department at a large retailer.
Yeah, he's the kind of atypical type of manager that a lot of people, when they become managers, they view their job as being a super worker, the person that makes all the decisions, and there's a problem, they'll fix it, that type of thing, and work harder and live up to the responsibility you were given. And the more you do that, the more you kind of alienate people, where they're not learning, growing, developing. They don't feel trusted, respected, they're not challenged. And so it becomes, it's really not managing at all, it's abdicating. That, you know, you give someone a task to do. If they haven't done it by your expectation, you take it back and do it for them. there's a lot of managers like this, a lot of technical managers. Most people are promoted for their excellence in a skill set, whether it's sales or anything technical. And then to be as successful as a manager, it's a different skill set. It's
right.
Not the same thing. It's doing different things and being better at people. So he's kind of in a box. He's not achieving his goals, and he's in trouble. And it turns out one of his employees kind of helps open his eyes. An employee is from South Africa, and he basically applied, used the principle that comes naturally to him as part of his of who he is, called Ubuntu, which was kind of initially surprises the guy in that he volunteers to come in on work on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without being asked, and it was, he said, if part of the team needs help, then it's my responsibility to help as best I can.
Okay.
And it kind of initially surprised him, and as he talked to him and got to know him better, he saw the value of this approach of starting with a feeling of connectedness and what we have in common instead of what we have in difference. And again, with our the American culture being very me-ism, and a lot of times people being out for themselves, the whole sense of a spirit of working together has been lost. And in this day and age, and especially with the technology advances, that the more connected people are through technology, the more alienated they are in their own jobs.
Well, that's an interesting point. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, you are the rewards guy. You are the guru of thank you. And to hear you say that it's an oxymoron, the more connected we are through the internet and everything else, the less connected we feel. I mean, what exactly do you mean by that, and how do you overcome it?
Well, most workers spend more time with their computer screen these days and less time with their boss who you know, and maybe a decade ago he was in the next office or down the hall. Now he's in the next time zone or around the world.
Sure.
And so the human element has slipped away, and then what's left, it tends to be people grousing about their problems, and as a result, it's kind of a shell of a concept of a sense of team. This is happening in all types of organizations, and so what I focus on, again, with if you want a place to start again, you've got to build a spark and a fire in those relationships, which can again come down to very simple interactions. How you make someone feel good about themselves and what they're doing, you could do that in the hallway, the beginning of a staff meeting. You could do it, you know, you can use technology to connect with people around things that are important. Not just to dump more work on them, but to leave a voicemail and say, "Hey, John, I meant to get by your office. That was a great presentation you gave earlier today. You just wowed them. Thanks for doing such a great job once again." And you leave it as a voicemail, the guy's going to listen to it five or six times.
Oh, absolutely. And if you've got a sophisticated office system, he might even share it with a couple of people.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's the need to make each interaction with people be positive and supportive, because then that will give more meaning to their job, and they will start treating others in kind. And so it's an important aspect, and you can use technology to make that happen, whether it's email, voicemail, even in some environments where you could send to someone's page a simple thank you.
Sure, absolutely. We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody, the author of the new book, Ubuntu. And just a big shout-out to Natalie. Natalie, you're the winner of the pizza and dessert. Congratulations. And for those of you that called in and didn't win, don't worry. We've got another pizza and another dessert to give away in the second half hour, so stay tuned for that. Bob, we're running out of time. I can't believe how quickly the time goes, but you're talking about Ubuntu, the African tradition. It takes a village in order to support one another. In the real world, you say in the book that the Boston Celtics embraced the philosophy of Ubuntu. What did you mean by that? How so?
Well, and they were just in the finals. They lost in the seventh game, but a couple years ago they won the NBA championship, and it was through their head coach, Doc Rivers. He attributed it to this concept of Ubuntu. He said he heard about it and instantly saw it as what he could use to unite his team as one team, not a bunch of superstars, each with egos, you know, but as a team working together. And he used that to make them better than themselves individually.
And had he learned this? This was an African tradition that he had learned, or had he read your book? How did
someone introduced him to it. He was in a meeting at Marquette, and someone mentioned it to him that lived in South Africa, and he said he instantly saw the value of that and got curious to learn more, and really harnessed the power and brought the team into it, and then they saw the value of it, and it was interesting because he even brought in someone from South Africa that one of the first things they said is that the real test of it is during adversity. Now, when everything's going well, it's easy to get along with other people.
Sure.
When things aren't going well, that's going to be the test of, are you going to pull together as a team, or are you going to start, you know, bickering and fall apart? And he said that they would talk a lot about that, and that would help them, you know, through different challenges on their journey.
We're talking to Bob Nelson, everybody. He is the guru of thank you. Bob, if people want to learn more about Ubuntu or any of your work, where should they go?
Well, for that book in particular, we have a website, Ubuntu, UBUNTU, thebook.com. Otherwise, that book and all my others are on my website, which is www.nelson-motivation.com, or, of course, any bookstore, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.
Or any independent bookstore that's out there as well. Great. Bob, it just flies by so fast. It really does. There's so much to cover. We'll have to have you back in the future.
Love to do it.
Thank you so much for being my guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.
All right. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, everybody.